You're listening to the Screaming Pods Network.
Not the only movie we've watched with a plot that revolves around sex with a 15-year-old girl. But thankfully, this is not the grossest. Jamie, let's go watch She's Out of Control.
Everyone, to another episode of Good Times, Great Movies. I, being Jamie Lorello, am here with a DP, Doug McCambridge. We are here to discuss a movie from the 1980s. How exciting. And we're wrapping up our month. We're closing out our month of Tony Danza. I know. And really, that's a wrap on Tony Danza in the 80s cinema.
No, remember, right? He's in Cannonball Run 2 that we have to
wedge
in somewhere.
But he's not any sort of a lead role in Cannonball 2, right?
I would be surprised.
Yeah.
Given what we've seen from him in the three movies we've covered, I would be shocked if he was the lead of the Cannonball Run sequel.
Definitely not. But here we are to talk about his later 80s. He was definitely into Who's the Boss then, because you definitely see some Tony Maselli coming out.
Yeah, I mean, this is, as we said with Going Ape, I don't think we said it during the show because I don't think we knew when it took place, but it was in the middle of the Taxi run. I feel like this is in the middle of the Who's the Boss run.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like he got downtime and, you know, movie roles. I can't imagine how many scripts came Tony's way.
Yeah.
And this is what he chose. And it's interesting that he would say, yeah, I'll just be Who's the Boss again. Like, I'll just do this again.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of what he's doing.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm not going to say that, no, why wouldn't I just say that
just
these
say
characters aren't interesting? There's no real, like, he's playing Tony Maselli. His girlfriend is playing kind of the same character from the Star Trek whale movie. Like, there's no range to any of these actors. Like,
do you
know what I mean? Does that kind of make sense?
And
even the boyfriend who we saw in Waxwork.
That's where he's from. The grungy boyfriend. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's kind of just the same character as in Waxworks and is also the same character that he plays in Twin Peaks. Like, he's just that character.
This is Come As You Are is what they call this casting.
Right.
Yeah. You don't got to try hard. You don't got to mesh into a character. Just you be you.
No.
The best you can be.
Daughter, I really didn't do a whole lot of research on her. She kept making movies into the early 2000s, but nothing really big.
Wasn't a lot of, like, horror movies?
It
and
was,
thrillers.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's a chance we'll see her again.
Oh.
If we do Witchboard 2. That might have been the early 90s. I don't know.
But you're right. You're right. He plays, he's a single dad. The difference is he's not a, he is the manager of a radio station, right?
Or
the
producer. Sure.
He's a head honcho of this radio station, but he really loses sight of his job completely.
Although we're kind of introduced to the fact that I guess the radio station right off the bat isn't doing that well. Because the first time he's there, they're like, oh, we're down to number six.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know. Like, I understand that issues with his daughter create issues at work, but it already seems like there are some issues at work.
I think that he's at a place at work. Ratings are low, but if he could focus on the job, the task at hand, the thing that he does, he could probably make it. Six isn't that bad. And he even says, yeah, we're number six, but there's, like, 94 other people
How
that would want to be
radio stations are in, where are they?
They're
Miami?
In Southern California. No, I think they're in Southern California.
Oof, man. Yeah. Okay. That Art Deco architecture of this radio station, I swore they were in Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was like, this looks like a building in Miami Vice.
Oh, yeah.
Let's switch gears here just for one quick second.
Okay.
Because people are probably getting this podcast, and this is the first podcast where you're seeing a new logo.
Oh,
so
logo.
I assume you're not alarmed and you understand what it is that you opened, but that'll be our logo from now on. So just,
yay.
Yeah, get used to it. And also, if you probably, by the time you're listening to this, we have merchandise.
Merch. We've got merch. Yeah.
Stuff that you can buy on TeePublic. We have a shop on TeePublic. You can just look up GTGMcast or just type in the words sleepaway camp. Type in St. Elmo's Fire. Type in The Last Unicorn. Type in Titular. That's the stuff that I have so far, but there will be more. And if anybody has any special requests or
merch
personal
ideas,
requests,
yeah,
from any movies that we have covered, mm-hmm. let me know. Or if you want to make money, you guys can design whatever you want and put it up on our store, and you can make money selling stuff about us if you want to. It doesn't
We're
really
open
matter.
To
that's
it.
Yeah,
open.
That's kind of how TeePublic works. So, anyway, go on, get a coffee mug or a T-shirt or whatever.
How fun! Right. New logo and merch. That's awesome.
New logo, merch, a whole new direction.
Here comes Good Times, Great Movies, mm-hmm. 2019
right.
reboot.
That's right. Everything is being improved except for the content that you're listening to right
now. No, that will
now.
Stay exactly the same. Actually, we're going to record more daytime recordings so that we can splash in more of Doug feeding his children and then abandoning them.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
It is. I put a lot of booze in that juice. She is going to be out like a light.
Yeah, Boozy Susie upstairs is just going to be snoring away the next 15 minutes.
That's right. All right, so let's talk about She's Out of Control.
Let's
also, we did not mention the name of the movie.
Oh, well, yeah. That was kind of a hidden,
yeah,
like a figure it out. Yeah, She's Out of Control. Yeah.
Right,
1986?
Yes. 88?
89. 89.
This is it. This
We're
is
at the
it
brink.
For Danza.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. I mean, I think we covered, what was Going Ape? I think that was 81?
Yeah, that was earlier. Yeah, 81, 80, yeah.
Yeah, and then sprinkled in there we have The Hollywood Nights and Cannonball Run 2.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, go back. Go to Patreon. You can listen to us talk about Cannonball Run. Nope.
No, you can't do
the
that.
The Hollywood Nights. You can imagine what we might say about Cannonball Run 2. Why did they make a second one? So, yes, she's out of control. Mm-hmm. Although, is she really the one out of control in
Who's
this movie?
Who's out of control
it's
here?
Pretty clear.
Who's seeing
Tony
a psychiatrist?
Danza.
Huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
That, when Wallace Shawn showed up, I thought for a second, I was like, oh, he's suddenly infusing some sort of class into this movie. And then it was just the Wallace Shawn Tony Danza show after
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. At the very
the
end, too, when they're at each
of
other.
This movie. Yeah. I was like, oh, I just thought he was going to be a psychiatrist for a scene or two.
Oh, no.
No. He gets way more screen time than the youngest daughter.
Yes, who is spunky in her own right. She's got her mm-hmm. own little, you know.
Yeah, she was fun. I enjoyed her. I liked how she sort of operated as her sister's secretary.
Yeah.
Like, she was keeping
floods of phone calls and scheduling. And all right, let's get into it. So when it opens, there's a kind of a flashback. We find out to this weird radio station fight, right? Like,
yes. I did not know that this movie was going to take place in the past. Like, I didn't know that it was just Tony Danza recounting these events to police officers.
To the detectives, yep.
And I had forgotten that that was happening until the end of the movie, and I went, why is he telling them all of these details?
Because
they're not important.
She's out of control or he's out of control. So in the beginning, you don't know who it is. And then it's done. There's a little bit where it's from his POV walking around the hospital. Right?
Yeah, we get Danza POV, which is kind of off-putting. Because we see a fight at a radio station, as you said, and then we see someone get thrown through a glass window.
Yeah, fall through a glass window,
Well, no. Again, it's revealed at the end that he just falls, but it looks like he was thrown through a window.
Yeah.
And we get Tony Danza POV in a hospital, which is really kind of great.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And the police, will not let him leave.
Oh, no.
And he's even like, what do you mean? The only person assaulted here was me. Because originally, like, you think Tony Danza shows up at this radio station to beat the crap out of some guy.
Yeah.
And he does show up there, but apparently then he is the one that goes through this window. Yeah. And the police just, you know, they just want him to tell them why all of this happened.
And then he does.
For what reason? I'm not sure. Is Wallace Shawn pressing charges here? Like, why are the police involved? Is it just because the window got broken?
I think there's the window got broken, and perhaps the detectives are equally concerned about the radio station's ratings.
Right. They're investigating radio station ratings. Maybe it's that schlubby co-producer or whoever that dude is.
That dude.
Maybe he called them. That guy, I don't know who he is. I really didn't look him up, but he kind of just plays a deadbeat best friend in a lot of movies, or else he looks like he should be playing.
Agreed. Yeah, I didn't look him up either, but he's kind of the radio station sidekick. Right. I think he's the DJ, essentially, and Tony Danza is the station manager.
Yes. And Tony Danza then begins to talk to the police, and I assume his story starts, well, our radio station's ratings weren't great.
No,
Then I went home and I played basketball with my youngest daughter. Like, why did the cops need any of this information?
We discover early on that he could care less about the ratings dropping. He's a single dad. I don't remember if his wife passed or what. I think he mentions what happens to his wife, but he's a single dad of two daughters. Right.
Oh, yes. I don't think he ever mentions it. I assume she died. That's what I'm assuming.
They never, but it's not like the girls ever say, I wish mom was around to tell me about this or.
Right. But I assume she's dead because if she was alive, first of all, if she was alive, I'm not saying it would be a better movie, but if she was alive and she was the one who like got the daughter all oversexed and everything like that, and then he had this conflict with his ex-wife. I kind of probably would have preferred that.
Having a girlfriend. Yeah. Yeah. But I think they had to bring it full circle because later on in the movie, she's finally introducing him to her parents and maybe so that they could get dads always have to go through. I mean, you're a dad. Did you relate to any of this at all? Do you worry?
I have a lot to say about this because this movie is like the wet dream of every like overprotective, gun toting, like boys can't be coming around my daughter. Like it is so over the top, like fueling that weird dad rage that I never understand.
You're like, I don't care. Take my daughter out.
No, it's a weird thing to be like, you know, and maybe it's just me. Like I know at some point my daughters are going to have sex.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about, like, they want to think about me having sex as much as I want to think about them. But, like, it's going to happen. And you can't, looking at it from the perspective of a teenage boy, like, I don't know. Like, if you go over to a girl's house to take her out and her dad's, like, weird and threatening and has a gun or something, like, that would be scary at the moment. But you are not thinking about that guy at all after you're out
when
of that house
with
the girl. It's such a weird... It's such a weird male point of view that I can't connect with, even though I have daughters. I don't know.
I think it's a common male point of view, though. I think.
Oh no, I think it is.
Yeah, I applaud you for not being that way because I don't think it's necessarily a healthy male point of view.
You don't think so.
But I think it's now. To be fair, though, he's not a gun toter.
No.
Character. I think his name is Doug, actually, in this movie.
I think it is
Simpson.
Italian Simpson ever. Hey, my name's Simpson.
I'm Doug Simpson.
Simpson.
Yeah, he's
Doug
Simpson.
Hey, why don't you go find out where spaghetti was born? Hey, I'm Simpson.
That's right, when she wants to get her plans to go to Italy. Oh, Dougie Simpson. No, so he doesn't ever tote a gun at them, but he does make uncomfortable... like you said, he's got these uncomfortable relationships he forms.
Yes. Yeah. And it's not over the top. It's not like he's threatening these kids
either. No, but he insists on meeting them and sitting down with them and getting to know them, which, like you said,
which seems rational. Like,
seems fashionable. Right.
No. It seems rational to be like, oh, let me talk to this kid for a little while. I don't have any issue with that. The spying, the lengths that he goes.
But that's on recommendation of the psychiatrist that he does.
Yeah, but also before the psychiatrist, he appears to be doing research on these guys too. Because the one guy is like, you know what? You got 2 speeding tickets. I don't know. Yeah. Like, how did you get this information?
And how about
this
guy? The guy starts crying about that.
That guy's great. I love when he calls later to cry again.
Yeah. Well, first of all, before she even gets into the dating world and he's doing all this investigative work, she's turning 15 and he brings her home a giant teddy bear. That's so before he even gets crazy about how he's going to interview her potential suitors.
Right.
He definitely wants to keep his little girl his little girl. Mm-hmm. Right. And did you notice the sister, even though I enjoy her, she's got that kind of that weird giggle. I can't even do it.
Yeah.
She's got a weird laugh.
She's not great. She's not great in this movie.
What is great, though, is when we first meet his 15-year-old daughter, Katie, and she's upstairs in her room flash dancing with these glasses on that are...
Those glasses? Oh, my God.
My husband walked in while he was like, what? Why did they need to put those glasses? Because the actress herself is a cute girl, and I guess they needed to make her super awkward looking. They gave her braces and then these, like, beyond Coke bottle. They're insane.
It reminded me of, do you remember that Seinfeld episode where he has to wear glasses to fool that guy? And they're so magnified that his eyes take up the entire... Like, they are so comical because... And that's what I kind of enjoyed is this movie is so cliche in every sense of the word. I mean, this is just, you know, 3 sitcoms mashed together.
Sure.
So the idea, like a she's all that thing where it's like, oh, she's weird and ugly because she wears glasses. But they take it to a level that I've never seen in a movie before.
Well, she's in the weird, like, sweatsuit flash dancing upstairs. Right. Again, I guess it's her 15th birthday. She's trying to come into herself.
The only thing they were missing was, like, headgear. Like, she should have been wearing headgear, not
with
just
that, hold
braces.
Her braces into place. Yeah, exactly. She does. She doesn't. She's got weird ponytails issues. Whatever. But she's a hot mess, and he brings her a teddy bear, and is like, "I love." He's got a lot of. They're very Danza-esque, but a lot of like facial expressions that he makes throughout this movie. And when he sees her dancing, like flash dancing, he's like, "What are you doing? You're gonna hurt yourself."
He's very confused. No. Also, nobody knows how to operate the stereo in her room either. Like, he doesn't know how to turn it off. His girlfriend goes up later and can't seem to figure out how to turn it down.
She's turning 15 and she's got a lot of changes that she wants to have happen. There's a next door neighbor boy.
At first I was like, what's happening right now? Cause all he does is go to the window and this kid pops his head out the window. First I thought it was like down the hall. Like it was her brother. Cause it looks like it's the same house.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, Mr. Maselli. Let's just call him Maselli.
All right.
Hey, Mr. Simpson, what's going on? He's like, hey, Robert. What's that kid's name? Robert Richard? Something.
I don't know.
Something lame. But, you know, it's like, hey, how are you doing? Great. And, yeah, so this kid lives next door. We find out later he's dating the daughter.
Since elementary school. I think they've been set up because they're neighbors. And he's like... I don't like it.
I don't like his reaction to almost anything she says. When she wants to break up with her boyfriend, Tony Danza is devastated by this news.
Yeah.
And she's like, Dad, you can still be his friend. I'm like, I don't like any of this.
This is making me all uncomfortable.
You should not be friends with a 15-year-old neighbor boy.
So he's, I guess for her 15th birthday, since she's 15, they take her out to this like... dance club?
What is this? Oh, also, just very quickly, you talked about Europe. I love how she's just going to Europe for school.
Oh, yeah.
How he wants to just hold on to his daughter. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, you're my daughter. You're a child. I am never going to let you go. Oh, P.S. Have fun in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. Unchaperoned. So wait, you can't date other guys, but go to find like an Italian man that maybe can sweep you off your feet over in Italy. Yeah. He gives her the giant teddy bear, and that's as her gift. And that's funny because she's like, Dad, I already have a teddy bear. And he's like,
yeah,
don't worry.
I like that reaction too, because I was like, even if he thinks of her as a child. Like, no kid's ever going to be like, oh, I already have a stuffed animal. That's not a reaction anyone would have.
No. But he also says, I've got your tickets here to Europe. And not only does she want to, is it that she doesn't want to go to Europe, or she just doesn't want the boyfriend to be her chaperone because she wants to break up with him?
Well, that's the confusing thing, because she says to him that she's not sure that she wants to go to Europe.
Yeah. And he's like, Katie.
And my thought was, that's insane. Like, that is insane. Especially if you want to grow up and be more independent, this is the exact opposite of the way you're feeling. Like, I then understand that maybe it has to do with the boyfriend, but I don't know. Like, she seems to have a plan to ditch this kid before Europe.
I think the problem, I think the focus for her is in the next couple scenes later when we see, so he, Danza's got a girlfriend that is in cahoots. Danza's got a business trip he's got to go on. Well, she is with the daughter, because they have this plan. We see it a couple of scenes later where they're going to start this transformation for her, because Danza's got to go to a radio station conference.
Whatever.
It just is enough to get him out of town.
I want to know what the whale scientist, what she does for a living. Like, her apartment? That is an amazing apartment.
Yeah. Well, she's a designer of some kind. That's why she's helping. Okay. That's why she comes swooping in to help with like the whole makeover.
Because it's weird, because when she is at his house, she looks like your run-of-the-mill, you know, suburban mom.
Yeah.
And then suddenly we're transported to her apartment and she's just like power suit, sexy dress. And I'm like, what's the dynamic here?
Yeah. I don't know if it would have been different if it was his divorced wife rather than his girlfriend. But
would have loved it if it was his divorced wife. Because then, you know, his daughter could have thrown things in his face like, you can't make a relationship work. Look at you and mom, blah, blah, blah.
But we didn't want that kind of, negative. We want
to
see.
No, I know. It's supposed
to
be goofy.
Yeah.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. But if it's overly goofy, which this movie is.
Totally.
When they go for any sort of sentimentality, it doesn't work. Like, it just
work. No, there's two moments. Maybe just one. There's one moment, I think, where he, and I guess we'll stumble upon
it. I don't know.
But anyway,
okay.
I have a feeling
we're going to have a few disagreements about this movie.
But so you'd never seen it before, right?
No, I had never seen this before.
Because mine might come from the nostalgia I have from seeing it as a kid. Because watching it now,
I had never seen it, and I could have told you exactly what this movie was about.
Yeah.
So he takes her to a sexy dancing club?
Yeah, like
what
an 80s dance club. And they all go. The dad and the little sister are there.
The little sister, they're sitting like at a table.
They're having milkshakes.
Everyone else in this place is between the ages of 21 and 24, except for Tony Danza and his family.
Yeah. And you could see she's kind of like off put, but again, 15 years old, what is the whole family got to go to this club with me for?
And she's dancing in the baggiest of sweats.
She's not a shabby dresser yet. She doesn't have her white knee-highs and her cute little.
Right, exactly.
And her jean jackets. She's still dressing like the old Katie, not the renewed Katie.
And this is when she tells Tony Danza that she's going to break up with this doof
Richard,
of a boyfriend.
Richard is his name. I did write it down, yeah.
And oh my God, she's also dancing with Tony Danza, and she's
weird.
Like, isn't
this
kind of weird?
And he's like, they don't know I'm your father.
No, he says, they don't know I'm your daddy. And I don't like that either. They probably just think you like older men. What, are you listening to the words you're saying, Tony Danza?
Well, she does, based on the suitors that come a couple of scenes later. But
she's totally into older men.
All men. She just will go out with anyone.
And this actress was 20 years old playing this role.
Okay.
Just to let you know.
Okay.
I had to look it up because I was like, this seems, when she was on the beach, I think I looked it up. I went, this seems wildly inappropriate at this point for a movie that's rated PG. If you're going to PG-13 it, If you're going to go all the way and push it into blame it on Rio, where that girl was 16 in that movie.
Yeah, she was.
Like, but I looked it up and I went, okay, this doesn't seem as skeevy, but still, we're supposed to think she's 15.
Yeah. So he goes away to his radio convention.
Right.
Flies off on a TWA flight, which is so funny because 1980 TWA. But anyway,
Oh, does TWA not exist anymore?
I don't think so.
I don't know anything about airlines.
The girlfriend swoops in to kind of get her this makeover. It starts with her getting her braces off 2 months early.
So sure. No problem there. Yeah. I'm sure everything will be fine. Yeah. You know, just wear your retainer, I guess.
It's just time. It's just time. She's got to get the gear off of her teeth. And she gets new contact lenses so she doesn't have to wear those giant eyeglasses. It's a little musical montage
Right. It's a transformation montage.
Is the song. Where's the fire? I don't get to do the beat, but.
Oh, I'm going to play it at the end of the episode. Don't worry, people.
Excellent.
Yeah. I pulled that because I went, I don't know if this is a man or a woman singing. It's a man.
But it's getting you ready for Katie's fire.
It's pretty fun. Like, there's makeup, there's heels, like, it's
the full gamut, the full makeover.
They run the gamut in, I assume, an afternoon.
Well, however long his convention is, they get it all done.
It makes it seem like that convention's about 3 hours long.
He gets a cab home, and when he comes home, there's the phone is constantly ringing as soon as he walks in the door, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In this movie, like you said, he just got on a plane, and then he gets out of a cab. Like, if Tony Danza is not on screen,
everyone
is freaking out. Like, he has to be in every scene in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the longest amount of time, and it's probably 90 seconds that he is not on screen.
Uh-huh.
The phone's ringing off the hook. Oh, Brian, no, Katie's not here because she's on her phone and he's taking down all these guys' names. And he's like, oh, you do know she has her own phone, right?
Right.
Oh, it's
right.
been busy for an hour and a half. It's a whole thing. He doesn't know what's going on. And then we get our first slow motion of the movie.
Yep.
When she comes downstairs, like you said, she's wearing, what is she wearing? Like white. Thigh highs? Like, I don't know what she's wearing.
She's got these, like, thigh-high socks on and this white skirt and this lacy kind of a top. And she definitely doesn't look like the daughter he left. Her hair's all done, the contacts. And she comes slow motion down the stairs to that Venus song. Venus, if you will. And he's in total shock. He doesn't even know. And again, his reactions, his facial expressions throughout this movie. Like, he's got that Danza-like... Mona, this look on his face, like, what?
And I understand the reaction because this is an insane transformation.
Well, and there's been no mention of it. It's not
not at all. Like, I can only assume for one brief second he thought it was one of his daughter's friends or something
like
that.
Well, he does. He says, so she comes down the stairs and sure enough, there's a guy at the door and she just goes off with him. And he's like, who was that kid? And they're like, oh, it's just Brian or whatever he is. And he goes, no, I mean the girl. Who's that?
Yes.
So he's stunned. Now he does, we forgot to mention even earlier, he's kind of goofy with his girls. He calls it the Simpson system. And he's got this like, and then he goes into this total control mode where now that she's gone, he's like, no, I need to have total control. We need to, if this is happening, then we need to have control of it. And then we're going to start this interview process with these boys.
It's very bizarre because they do set him up or they want us to think that he is this type A personality, but he doesn't give a shit about work. Like is not extending beyond the walls of his house.
No, he's got a new full-time job and that's keep making sure his now dating daughter.
He just leaves work all the time. I don't know how often he's getting calls in this movie when they're like, you know, you just left, right?
At the end when he's left and when he's decided that he's got to marry his girlfriend and getting his little buffoon assistant there is like, where have you been all day? He's like, I've been out shopping. Okay. I had to go shopping. Like,
I've been shopping. I mean, I know you're the boss and you can just say whatever you want, but can't you pretend
shopping?
That
there's maybe you have a sick daughter.
There was a family
that.
Emergency.
Yeah.
Yes.
Family emergency.
I had to
umbrella
do a lot
term.
Of shopping.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just had to get the shopping done. But anyway.
Well, that's why that guy freaks out on him at the end.
Yeah, because he's like, what?
Like shopping, we're all gonna lose our jobs, you buffoon.
Because they do, as when the the little snippets of the radio station get interjected. They slowly, they go from the rating of 6 to 10 to 12 to 60 to like 98 by the end. And it's just, it's a downward spiral.
It's very strange too, because they say things to him when he's sitting there with these two old guys who I guess are in charge. I don't know.
The radio station
shareholders. Who knows who these guys are? And they're like, you have your finger on the pulse of the youth. You have to come up with something. I'm like, maybe don't run an oldie station. Like, what if you're trying to gain youthful listeners, that shouldn't be the goal of an oldie station.
No,
like, it's just very strange. So, as we said, she goes out with some guy, and this is our second montage. We just had a transformation montage.
Yeah.
Now we get the guy showing up to date his daughter montage.
Yeah.
And as you said, they are all frightfully old.
Like, they're all over 18. There's not one. There's maybe one that looks like, because they do, they try to give a variation.
There's this heavier, there's this heavier kid who appears to be maybe 16.
Yeah.
These other dudes are all in their 20s.
And there's a set of twins.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That set of twins. I was like, how is this going to work? I mean, I know they know how this is going to work in their minds.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, that should be the most frightening door answer.
No, there's a couple of others that come through, because like they look like it's that Chris, whatever his name is, to catch a Chris Johnson, Johans, what's the Catch a Predator's name?
What is that guy's name? Chris Hansen.
Chris Hansen. There you go.
They all look like Chris Hansen.
No, they look like they're
meaning they all
look
like they're in their mid to late 40s.
They look like they're coming to meet with Chris Hansen. Like they all live in Florida or some place that they want to.
And it's funny too, because other than the fact that they look old, a lot of these guys look perfectly normal. Like, they do sprinkle in, like, you know, mohawks and goofy stuff like that. But for the most part, like, he answers the door.
Yeah,
he answers the door half the time. And guys are, like, wearing prep school jackets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, are we supposed to think, like, why not make them all wildly bizarre? But I guess they want to show that she can run the game. She can have any guy, or guys are falling over themselves to suddenly get to her.
That's kind of a crazy thing too. So she's made a transformation. It's not like we see her in school where now people are like getting her number. She's made a transformation, and next thing we know, phone calls are pouring in and doors keep getting the bell keeps getting rung, and people,
you're right, we're never outside this house. We're at the house or the radio station, which maybe that's why I'm so into his girlfriend's apartment.
Because
that's
it's
the
a
only
new,
other setting in this movie.
Yeah. Wait, then I do like when the black guy comes to the door.
First of all, Todd Bridges shows up.
Yeah, Todd Bridges.
It was so great.
A little Willis action. Oof. We got to love it. Yeah.
When he answered the door and I saw Todd Bridges, I was like, this is going to get racist.
And it does. Danza makes a comment.
I love the fact that Danza makes somewhat racist comments, basically saying how he's not racist, and then acknowledges at the end of the scene, oh, that was kind of racist.
Yeah,
he's like, I marched at Selma. I was the last guy pulled out of the lunch counter.
Yeah. And he's just like, I'm Leroy, the water guy. It's all good. I'm just here to get the water.
And he even like puts the water on his back, and he yells at Danza. Like, his face is like, Leroy! And then walks away. And Danza's like, yeah, I kind of had that coming.
Yeah.
Okay, good. He should have known, because he's the only guy that comes to the door during the day, too.
Yeah, all the rest are nighttime suitors.
Yeah.
It's true.
So his work is slipping, as we said. He's got his finger on the pulse of the children.
Well, the report, then he gets a message. So the little sister acts more as the secretary and sort of, at one point, Danza even says, what am I paying you for? She is the liaison to Danza about the guys coming in. And what's happening in Katie's life.
Right. She's playing both sides here.
Oh, totally.
Like, she is helping her sister.
Yeah.
She's also helping Danza. She's getting paid by Danza, and I assume getting paid by the sister, too.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, the youngest daughter in this is really making out well, although, you know, near the end of the movie, he goes into a room and is talking to the youngest daughter, and I realized I haven't seen her in a half hour.
Yeah.
Like, she just disappears from this movie.
Well, she's not needed. When like for the drag racing, where is she? I don't know. Oh, she's getting what babysat. Is the, for.
Oh my god, I forgot about drag racing. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did again. I'd seen this movie before, yeah. And that whole stuff. I was like, I don't remember this happening.
No,
but
no, we're in a different movie at that point.
Oh like, yeah,
we're in a totally different.
Well, and
movie.
I like it. We go through one boyfriend, and then we go through the other boyfriend. But so Danza's the ratings are going down, and now the report is in from the little sister that the grades are slipping as well. So not only
I do think it's
busy,
funny. I do think the grade slipping thing is funny. How he's like, you're down to an A minus. I do like the fact that this girl is very smart and her grades are good. Mm-hmm. And even when they're slipping, I think in one class she's down to a B plus and he is losing his mind over this.
He can't handle it. He says a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
I know. And he even says later, like, he values education. He went to college for one, possibly 2 years, he says to the
shrink. Yeah, yeah, exactly. He didn't even finish college. Like,
I was in college for a year, almost two.
Yeah. Let's be honest.
So this is when we are kind of introduced to one of the two main boyfriends.
Yes.
I mean, I know Richard. We already know who Richard is.
The neighbor
we
boyfriend.
We see
right?
her get into basically a monster truck.
Yeah, this bright monster, this big old monster truck with this guy Joey inside. He looks like a bad guy in a sense. He's got this big monster truck and wears leather and lots of hair product. But he also is like chewing bubble gum.
That, his Lyle Lovett-esque hair is crazy in this movie. It is insane. And when you say wears a lot of hair product, when he is drag racing, it's not moving. Like, his hair is not moving at all. And it's really, really great. So she tears off with this guy. He's, you know, she says he's super shy. He's not going to come inside. He's not even going to get out of his truck.
Well, and he hasn't been approved. This, like, all these suitors, we find out that Tony Danza has done some research on. He knows.
Yes.
Before Joey comes to the door, Danza rings his own doorbell to request a date with his daughter. So
I love the fact that he was just upstairs two minutes ago talking to her, and he goes outside to ring the doorbell. Oh, yeah. So he wants a date with his own daughter, and the little girl's like scheduling it in that black book.
Yeah. But first, she goes off on this date with this Joey. And like you said, he's in this monster truck, and off they go. But then we get to see a little Sunday at the beach, the date day with Dad.
This part of the movie was the only part of the movie where I had a genuine laugh. Now, maybe you were yucking it up all over the place. But when he chases, like, wants to beat up little fat kids, I was laughing at this because he doesn't just fall over in the sand. He chases them off the beach up a set of stairs to get to the road. Like,
and what is he going to do with them? What's
I
he
don't
gonna
know.
Do with them? He's just so angry that they're so they're having their date day and he's ready to have sandwiches and hot dogs and snacks, whatever. And where's Katie? Where is she? Well, she's off in the water because Joey just happens to be at the beach as well. So she's swimming in the water.
Watching him scamper away in the water was also one of the funnier things because he is so scrawny. Like, he's so thin and he's got that giant hair. Mm-hmm. And when he sees Tony Danza, he just like flops away like in 4 feet of water, just trying to run and falling all over himself. It's pretty funny. I kind of love the beach stuff in this.
It's not nearly as so. Then she runs back to Danza, as we mentioned, in this slow motion Baywatchy sort of
very
run,
Baywatchy,
where
very.
Every dude on the beach is, and it goes to that. It's for a chocolate commercial, right? Ooh, yeah.
Well, and Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, and Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
chocolate commercial.
Hey, I'm hungry.
You were like, you know, the Caramello commercial?
It's in a chocolate, but it is more.
Oh, no,
Ferris
I know
Bueller.
It is. No,
sorry.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
But
it's not Caramello, I know that.
But that's a great candy treat. Anyway.
That was a great candy treat.
Right?
Candy treat.
He all these dudes are looking over at his daughter, and he tries to cover her up with a blanket. Like you said, then he chases a fat kid off the beach.
It's very strange, the people that they show watching her, because it's either kids that are really young.
Yeah.
Or
sleazy old men.
Skeevy men. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it is. It is disturbing.
And, yeah, and she's kind of just, I love it when he's covering her up. And I understand on Baywatch they wore something very similar, but I'm like, she's kind of in a modest one piece.
Yeah,
like, like, this isn't, she's not emerging from the waves in a bikini or something
right,
like that.
Right, right, in a string bikini, right, right. But she is, he's just not ready to deal emotionally with what's happening to her physically.
Sure. Right.
And this is when he decides then to go see a Dr. Fishbinder.
After he wants to beat up, as we said, Screech and Donkey Lips are in this movie.
Yes.
The two that don't have lines, which is even more bizarre.
Oh, yeah, no.
The kid in the middle, who I did not recognize.
Mm-mm.
He tells Tony Danza to get the hell out of the way,
yeah,
right, so they can look at his daughter.
Yeah.
And this is when he chases the three of them,
yes,
and is assumingly going to beat them to death.
I guess. I don't know what his plan is when he catches them. It's like my dog chasing a squirrel. What are you going to do with it once you get it?
So how does he find out about this doc?
The doctor wrote a book called Daddy's Little Girl, A Guide to Raising Teenage Daughters.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't know about the book till he's in his office and he gives him the book.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I guess we're just supposed to assume he, whatever, just goes to see this shrink.
Yeah.
And also Wallace Shawn's statistics that he gives him are great.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, he keeps talking, and I was like, I think he just said that about 1% of 15-year-old girls are virgins.
Yeah.
Is what he says. And then later he goes, don't you know that 97% of girls lose their virginity at the prom?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, what? I thought you said they all had sex when they were 15.
No, his percentages are all very extreme and
working
what he needs them to. He does recommend Tony Danza gets her on the pill immediately.
Yes, yes.
Because he hasn't read the book yet and he needs to go back and read the book and to know how to deal with his daughter and the questions that will come up and the situations that will arise and how to deal with it like a sane man, not a man chasing kids off a beach.
Right. Yes. So he gets home and this is a moment where I thought it was really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
She does a great job. I mean, they both do a pretty good job in this scene. But she comes home from her date with Joey and it's been the greatest night. She's having a fantastic time with this guy.
Yeah.
And she sits down with Tony Danza and wants to talk about sex. Clearly, they never say that word.
Which is, to me, this was a little awkward because, I mean, I guess this is her only parent. So who else is she going to have this conversation with? They do have a good relationship, even though he's a little thrown by her teenage years. He's poured himself a big glass of milk. And did you notice that?
Of course he
is. He's so ready to, like, he's read part of the book now, so he feels armed and ready to kind of, to be able to handle the conversations, these delicate conversations that she wants to have. And she does. She wants to know when it's a good time.
Yes.
To know, basically she wants to know when's a good time to know you want to have sex.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I understand what you're saying too, because it's odd that she would jump to this so quickly. Like, he just got her a giant teddy bear like a week ago.
True.
Like,
true. I'm relieved to find out that she hasn't been having sex with all of these suitors that come to the door, because she's had so many boys come to the door. You're like, how busy is this girl? But no, she really has just been kind of dating and you know, or whatever. But now she wants to take things to another level and with this Joey. And he gives her this weird analogy that he got from Dr. Fishbinder's book about herds of sheep and slowing, not to go too quickly. And basically he tells her, you know, you don't rush it. He gives her some sound advice about, you know, you want your first time to be special and you shouldn't rush into it. But she's kind of like, okay, Dad, great talk. And rolls her eyes about it.
It is pretty good, too, because she calls him out on it, like when she's going up the steps. And he's like, oh, is that, do you have any other questions
or
whatever? And
she's like,
you know what? I should have known better than to ask my dad a question that he doesn't have the guts to answer.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's pretty good. Because although he seems kind of satisfied with his response and the entire exchange.
He feels like he I think one thing that he's proud of himself for doing is not flying off the handle about okay. the fact that she's asking about sex. Like, he's...
But it's also bizarre, too, because we've never seen him fly off the handle. Like, we've never seen him really lose his temper yet.
Well, he just chased these kids when he chases the kids off the beach. You sense that
he's... Oh, my God, you're right. Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
You sense that
I guess
he...
I meant other than him trying to beat up 11-year-olds.
No, I think the sense is as things are starting to get okay. a little more out of his hands, slipping through his fingers, if you will. He needs to gain some control back, you know, total control. He says it a couple of times. It's his mantra, total control. So this is his way of taking control, is to be able to be there for her, to talk about things and give her sound advice about it. And so he thinks he's done his job until, like you said, she calls him out on it. And he's like, but I mean, I told you to wait and you were comfortable enough to come to me. So it's a win.
Yeah, I get that. This reminded me of, I know we talked earlier before we, you know, just for patrons, we talked about Who's the Boss. This reminded me of a Who's the Boss episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember a lot of them, but do you remember the episode where he has to go buy Samantha a bra?
Bra, like, yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's all. Yeah. It's like he probably just did that. Like the season.
Yeah, they
before
probably
this
like
something.
Paralleled in some weird ways. Yeah. So anytime like a major, you know, thing, he goes back to the psychiatrist, doesn't just call him. He hunts him down. Like at this point, I think he's in a sweatsuit when he finds him. Weird like running suit or something. Right.
Yeah. And he's like, you called me at 3 a.m., 4 a.m. and
5 a.m. Yeah. What is the emergency? And he's right. like, she wants to have sex. And I don't know if I dealt with it right. And the psych's advice is, well, you have a girlfriend, you should marry the girlfriend and show her that, you know.
I love how when Tony Danza says, like, she wants to talk to me about sex and stuff, like, his reaction isn't, oh, all right, fine. His reaction is, this is very serious. You need to go to my office now.
Uh-huh.
Like, whoa, you're not putting his mind at ease at all. And
no.
I know that we, you know, like, he's playing, spoiler, like, the long game with Tony
totally.
Danza,
uh-huh.
which I, in a weird way, I didn't see it coming. And then at the end, I went, how did I not see this coming?
Yeah, yeah.
She needs like a female role model or someone in her life. Or why does he even tell her marry her?
I don't know, but that's, I don't remember either why. But that's his next advice, is what you need to do is marry your get serious about. And I guess they'd been dating for a little while. He does like her just fine, but they've always lived separately and it never came. He just said marriage is a big deal. Well, exactly. That's why you have to make it happen. So again,
he says 3 years at one very early when they're at that club at the beginning, they've been dating for 3 years.
Oh yeah. So he leaves work again to go shopping.
To go shopping.
I guess for a wedding ring.
Yes, uh-huh. For a ring.
And he goes to her house and he proposes to her. And now she wants to, she's turned on by this.
She is over the moon about this too. It's like, I've been waiting for this for so long. I kind of never thought it was going to happen. Oh, yeah. And she is all over him too.
Yeah.
And he is having none of it. He's like, you women, all you think about is sex.
Right, it's true. He does come back at her like that. Yeah. Well, because really he does care about his girlfriend, but this was a means to an end. He wants, this is to make sure Katie is on the right track and doesn't have sex. It's not necessarily, he's not focused.
Like, I was waiting for that to come back in this movie, for her to be like, wait a minute. The only reason you proposed to me is because your daughter, but no,
no,
it never,
it doesn't.
Like,
no.
That's clearly the only reason he's there, because when she goes in to take a cold shower, like he's sitting there going, yeah, I made the right decision.
Yeah,
this is right.
This is going to be
like,
great.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she's all revved up because, you know, and he's like, no, we can't just know. And she's like, all right, well, I got to take my cold shower then. And he calls the house. And finds out that...
So confused. So confused by this.
That she's gone again? The sister relays a message like, no, Katie's not here and I don't know. And
no, he calls the house and Joey picks up the phone.
Oh, that's right. It's Joey that answers. That's right.
He calls the house, Joey answers.
Oh, that's right.
Immediately jumps in his car and I'm like, I can't wait until he gets home.
I do like that he has a car phone, P.S. He has a car phone.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He calls her on the car phone. Or his girlfriend on the car phone to be like, sorry, I had to leave, babe, but something came up at work and I just had to hustle. And she's like, you just like, what is going on? But he does. He goes to the psychiatrist's house.
She's probably like, you know what? He's been saying the ratings are in the tank. So
yeah, he's got to work on something over there. So he goes, the psychiatrist is having some kind of house party, fancy.
Yeah.
And he's got to buzz up to like a security camera to talk to him, which is funny because it's like Dan's his black and white face all up in the security camera. While Dr. Fishbender or whatever is talking him through it. I don't remember what he tells him now. Oh, he tells him to make him his best friend.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I love about this, because I was like, oh, Tony Danza's jumping in his car. He's going to go home. Nope. Just going to go see the psychiatrist.
He needs constant advice as to what to do next.
Yes, but that's the advice, is befriend this kid. And then your daughter won't be interested in him.
Yes, yes.
She will see him as you do, which is right. A weird way to put it. I thought it was more like she wouldn't want to date anyone who's friends with her dad.
Right. No, but
we soon find out
like,
the only people she dates are friends with her dad.
Right? These are her favorite kind of people.
Right.
I do like that when he shows up to his house, there's like a, it's like a little slow dance party. They're all listening to records and slow dancing.
In the dark at his house. And my thought at first was like, why are they doing, where do they think he's going to be? Like, isn't she afraid that he really could
we'll
walk through
home?
The door at
right,
any moment?
He's not at another convention, radio station
no.
convention. So
no,
he
and
is due
I don't
home.
Even, right. And my thought was, well, maybe they know that he's going out to dinner with his girlfriend, so he's going to be gone for a while. But
right.
I don't think his daughters know that he just proposed to her. Like,
no.
I don't think they know that any
no,
of that's
No, it all
happening.
Happened so quickly. Only the psychiatrist
yeah.
knows that this is going to happen.
His
but
new best friend.
He instantly becomes, because he's super mellow. I think one of the kids is even like, Katie has a killer dad. He's
yeah.
like, it's okay. Because, you know, he comes home and they're like, oh, sorry, Dad, we were just listening to your records and blah, blah, blah. He's
yep.
like, it's fine. I love that you're listening to my stuff.
I had to frantically run to IMDb when we see all of her friends, because I could have swore the one kid was Gary Busey's son. I was so excited, but it wasn't him.
No.
I saw those giant chompers,
and
I was like,
oh. That's a Busey on the screen.
Yeah, that's
a Busey
I'm looking at. No. Oh, my God, yeah. And he's sitting there talking to them as though he's the leader of a cult. Like, they're all sitting cross-legged on the floor.
On the floor. He's on the couch. Yeah. He's playing records for them and telling them stories. They're curled up in blankets like he's the campfire that they're sitting around.
Yep.
And he tells Joey, because Joey is a little uncomfortable. He's like, this
Joey's
is really
had enough.
Weird.
He's like, this is it. This is a weird scene. I think he even says, this is a weird scene. Oh, yeah. This is a very strange scene. I wrote it down. Most parents don't like kids. And no parents like me.
I think Danza is like, actually, you remind me of me. And
yeah.
I was like you. So then we get a little throwback to Hollywood Nights, because Danza takes them all to his old hangout, which is this like.
Yeah, we wandered on to the set of the Hollywood Nights here, because after he talks to Joe, he's like, hey, everybody, why don't we go to a cool place that I like to hang out at?
My
and
treat.
All the teens are like, yay, let's go.
Never in the, but.
And it doesn't seem like a place that he hangs. It seems like a place they hang out because everyone at this place
they
is
know
in high school.
Yeah. So, but it is, it's straight out of the Hollywood Nights. It's that drive through, you know, burger place or whatever. And I think he's in the middle. Is he in the middle, but in the car? He's driving. He takes his little fancy car.
He is
that
not
he
driving.
Has.
He lets Joey
drive.
Oh,
that's
drive.
Right.
Remember, that's
right.
What wins him over. He's like, you see that Jag out there? And he throws him the keys. And Joey's like, all right, we're hanging out now. And how is Joey being bullied by nerds?
I know. These nerds pull up. They had the casting was weird on this, because these nerds pull up in this car that are clearly like they don't look rough and tough at all. They look geeky and nerdy, and they kind of talk shit to and they're both like both Katie and Joey are like, all right, just stop, just leave it alone, just don't make eye contact.
Because these nerds are like, hey, what's that piece of shit car you're driving? And Joey's like, come on, man, do we have to do this today?
He just wants to have a milkshake with his new best friend.
Yes. I just want to have a milkshake with this old man.
Yeah.
That and I love how these nerd bullies don't say anything like, who's that old guy in there with you? They don't even seem to notice that Tony Danza's there.
And Tony Danza does say, because they want to have a race, and Danza's like, oh, yeah, let's race. And so he kind of signs them up for this drag race, which...
Oh.
Now is going to happen.
Oh, my God.
They go and they Danza accepts the challenge for him. And they go, Katie's the girl that does, you know, the start your engines or go for it. And they start this drag race. And Joey, in the end, wins.
I want you to be that girl one day in your life and just be like, awesome. Yeah, go for it.
That'd be amazing. Maybe you and Barrett could drag race sometime. Be so fun. I don't know.
That would be cool. I mean, just in our regular car.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I'll be like,
just
listen,
in your
my
minivan,
minivan.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah, and I'm talking like drag race in like a Dunkin' Donuts parking lot. Like
okay,
just
oh,
like a
oh,
quick,
so like 50
yeah,
feet?
Yeah, exactly. Just right. Who could get in the parking spot first? That's what we're going to go for. All yeah. Right. So the race is kind of, it's not that, I mean, it's kind of intense, but it's just a simple, they race and
yeah,
Joey there's... wins, but Joey's car stalls out on the train tracks.
Oh,
and we get
God.
Two moments. So one, they're all excited. Joey won and the car stalled out. I'm sorry. That's okay. You won. And I'm just, and now a train comes and everybody, Danzer runs and the crowd runs behind him and they stop and they stare and the first train comes and Danzer's car was on the other track. So whoo, breathe a sigh of relief. It's not
car.
My car. But then the next train comes. Stops and slow motion hits Danza's car and shatters it to pieces.
The explode on impact of this car is crazy because they show it in slow motion.
Yeah.
And the moment the train taps the door of the car, it just explodes.
Yeah.
And then we suddenly see it at the shop and it looked like the car rolled over about five times. Like it's not a car who just had its doors and all the pieces blown for miles.
Right.
This car's been smashed up a bit.
Yeah.
And what is with this British guy who's running
the
this
mechanic?
Garage? Yes. It's so weird. It looked like he walked off a Monty Python set and put on some coveralls. This guy is so proper. So many things in this movie don't make sense. And I should not be watching this going, what's the deal with this British guy here?
In the mechanic, yeah. What is it? I do like when Danza sees the car when it happens on it. His eyes cross and he passes out.
He falls over.
Yeah. This is one of the parts that I thought were one of the conversations that was a little bit more endearing. So Katie decides now she wants to break up with Joey because it kind of his plan worked. Make friends with him. It worked. And she wants to break up with Joey. And Danza gives her some sound advice. He's like, you know, you can't let your face be a weapon now. You can't use this to like rope guys in and then do what it's just not right. And she's like, I know you're right, Dad, but I like this power that I have being this. And I thought it was kind of an interesting little conversation that they had and very telling
I thought as the conversation went, it was good.
Yeah.
I didn't like the fact that he immediately went there with it. How he was like, you know what? You can't keep doing this to guys because of blah, 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 blah.
Right,
I'm like,
right.
Whoa, calm down. Like, just relax.
Well, this was
Danza.
His plan, though. He didn't want them to be together anyway. So you think at first he would be like, oh, thank goodness. But
he loves Joey.
Yeah,
Joey.
He really
more
did find
Richard.
A true connection. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Joey is the new Richard.
Oh, speaking of
now
Richard,
Richard's back. Yeah, that's
this
right.
This is when Richard shows up. He knows now what she's into, so he just shows up at the door wearing all leather. But he's not there to see her. He just wants to talk to Tony Danza.
He's here to talk to Tony Danza.
My thought was when he showed up dressed like this, I was like, oh, he knows what she's into. And then when he asked to talk to Tony Danza, I was like, no, he knows what Tony Danza's into.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
He knows Danza's been hanging out with Joey.
He wants to be more of a bad boy. He knows that he'll let himself open. Because he does. He opens up to Danza, and he's like, I just don't think I'm going to go to Europe with her. I think, what if she needs to meet Prince Charles? And I love this exchange, because Danza's like, I think Prince Charles is in a marriage. And he's like, yeah, but it's not a happy one.
I did like that a lot.
So he takes Richard into one room to have this conversation with him. Now Joey comes to the door and Joey doesn't want to see Katie either. Joey wants to see, and Joey's so upset because he's like, I just can't, my own dad doesn't like me and I can't have another dad just abandon me. And he's like gonna throw things.
They're hugging in the kitchen. This is a weird scene too, because I thought it was gonna be a Tony Danza trying to juggle these two boys in different rooms, because he does have his name waiting in the kitchen, Richard. And then he's talking to Joey in the dining room. But it never really turns into that, because then Matthew Perry shows up out of nowhere in this movie.
Yeah, now Matthew. Well, that she's been waiting for another date. We know when the doorbell rings and Richard and Joey came. These were not the guys she expected to see. Finally, the guy comes, and it's Matthew.
She's waiting for Timothy.
Yes, or Kavanaugh. No, I'm just kidding.
oh my God. I did not think that watching it, but clearly.
I did. I totally did.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because he even looks like a young...
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And the way he's bro high-fiving guys, oh my God, you're right.
Yeah.
This is totally Kavanaugh.
Yeah. Matthew Perry comes to the door and they have a sit down with, you know, Tony Danza, and he's just impressing Tony Danza. He's a senior in high school.
Right.
He's about to go on to Yale. Before they leave, he gives them the number to the restaurant. If you need to know where we're going to be, call here.
Yes.
When any big change happens, though, in Katie's life, Danza has to consult Dr. Fishbender, Fishbinder.
Oh, of course. Name. Yes. Yeah.
So
and Dr. Fishbinder is like, this is the worst of all these boys.
Didn't you read this chapter in the book?
Right.
What you need to do is get the dirt on Timothy by stalking him.
Yeah.
By taking
he took
pictures.
Him to the future and showed him those confirmation hearings. He's like,
yeah.
Look at this. This is the guy. He's going to be yelling about beer 30 years from now.
So you better get your evidence in now, okay?
Right.
Because he's going to pull out his planner and claim that he didn't see your daughter in the month of July.
and so he tells Tony Danza, I love how he tells Tony Danza to spy on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives him all the specs of what type of camera to get so he can take infrared night shots.
Yep, yep.
And so Tony Danza is taking all these pictures of him just like making out with other girls. And there's like, you know, he's sneaking into girls' windows and stuff like that.
So he gets all this evidence on Timothy. And Katie has snuck out. He goes home, not to show Katie necessarily the evidence, just to kind of...
I think he wants to. I think that was his intention, I think, because he goes up with the folder with printed photos.
But she's not in bed. She has snuck off to the beach. And he decides he has to be the enforcer. She's going to be grounded. And this is not okay, her sneaking out and doing this. And it's not. She's really kind of pushed the limits now. And he says, I like it when he's like, there's nothing beautiful or special about climbing into your window at night. Because he's concerned that maybe she snuck off in the night to like go have sex for the first time. And he was like, this is not beautiful and special to end it by climbing back. And again, it's a valid point. But yeah, he's cutting down the tree of the house. She's punished.
Yeah.
She's upstairs in her room listening to music and won't hear the voice of reason. But the girlfriend, Tony Danza's girlfriend, has convinced him to allow her just one more time to see Timothy. It'll be prom night. And then Timothy will go off to school. And
yes. It is funny because she goes upstairs. And again, she can't figure out how to work the stereo
either. Yeah.
And his daughter. What's the daughter's name in this movie?
The daughter or the little daughter?
The daughter.
The daughter's Katie.
Okay. So Katie... Yeah. So Katie starts crying and the mom from Seventh Heaven is like, come on, that only works on guys.
Oh, yeah.
And then immediately she walks downstairs and she's like, you know what? I think she should go to that prom.
Yeah.
Of course it worked on you.
I think that's what's going to happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
She totally manipulated you. But this is supposed to be the last time they see each other. But then again, when he tells the psychiatrist that, thinking like, I did this, look how, he's like, are you crazy? And this is when we get the crazy percentage about girls losing their virginity at prom.
89. I wrote down 89% of girls lose virginity on prom
night.
Pretty
intense.
And that must mean they're all going to the prom when they're 15. If that, you know.
Those percentages are accurate
compared
to his original. Yeah.
Exactly. This is also a line that I genuinely laughed at or smiled at when Tony Danza's leaving his office and he's like, hey, I just got to let you know you're my favorite patient.
Oh, yeah. Tony Danza's like kind of very prideful.
Thanks. Like,
yeah.
It is actually kind of funny because I'm like, that's very unprofessional. I don't think you should say that.
No.
But also, this is when he says something like, oh, I just, you know, I want to help so many people with this. Hey, you own a radio station.
Oh, yeah.
You know, would there be any sort of way where maybe I can have some time?
I can get on the air and
mm-hmm. and really just impart my wisdom to other people. And Tony mm-hmm. Danza's like, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, I'll make that happen.
Best buds. I can make that happen. Listen, I'm tanking in the ratings, but they're looking for something new. So maybe.
Let's see what we could do. You're helping me out here. Let's do this. Let's not forget that Danza did propose to his girlfriends and has apparently never met her folks.
Yeah, it's so very easy. Oh, yeah. And the way she acts, this woman who, late 30s, mm-hmm. would you say?
Yeah,
late
30s? I'll buy it.
How she's even like, you know what, I can't tell my parents that, you know, I'm moving in with you. We're not even married.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What?
But I think that's to relate back to, like, you know, all girls are daddy's girls, and she doesn't want her. But yeah, I agree. Like, that's a weird dynamic to put out there.
Yeah, and I also think it's funny because in the scene before this, when we saw her, Tony Danza basically refers to her as some weird sex pervert.
It's really funny
to listen to her then be like, oh, my dad's not going to be happy with this arrangement at all.
They go out to dinner at the same place that the prom is happening so that Danza could keep an eye on the prom.
God.
And I do love this. They sit. Danza must have picked just the right seating so that he could look over and see the prom happenings.
Yes.
And as they're trying to have dinner with her folks, he keeps looking over at what's going on. And the dad even makes a comment at one point, like, he keeps looking over at every young girl at this prom over here. What is going on? He's a shady guy, and I don't trust him.
It is kind of funny. Like, I sort of enjoyed this part of the movie, especially when one of the best things about this scene, we didn't mention it, is when they sit down and she, the whale scientist from Star Trek, goes, hey, she's talking to the waiter and she's like, do you think you could put us somewhere else? We're really close to this harp.
Yeah,
and that harp player, the look she gives her. And the fact that then she, like, just starts on those strings so loudly mm-hmm. just to irritate mm-hmm. her because of what she says. And then later Tony Danza's like, this harp is super annoying. I gotta go talk to the manager.
Yes.
But he sneaks into the prom and then is dragged out by chaperones for being a weirdo.
They think that he's a weirdo for staring. But when he sneaks into the prom, he gets a glimpse of his daughter kind of sort of dirty dancing, not even terrible dirt, but doing some risque moves with.
Right. Not like the girl that he stared at for a very long time at the club at the beginning.
Yes. I agree. Yeah. That's super uncomfortable.
When
she asked him,
like,
a beautiful like Carrier. Yeah.
You know, like that stripper over there.
And he just does. He stares at her. She's like, Dad.
Yeah. And even his girlfriend walks over and is like, I saw the way you were looking at her. And he continues to watch this woman dance.
Oh, man. He gets kicked out of the prom, and he watches as they leave, Katie and Timothy leave, and they get into a limousine, and Timothy's giving high fives to his buddies as they get into a limousine.
She gets in the limo, and he turns around, and he looks at these guys like, she's 15.
High fives! But
not good.
Danza's waiting for the valet to bring his car, and when they don't bring it in time, he gets like this La Bamba car that's on like,
I think that's what they call them too, La Bamba cars.
That's the name. Anyway, he steals this like crazy car to go chase them to, they're all at a hotel party.
It's not a hotel, Jamie. That's a motel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's what I think is really funny about this, how it says motel, and he looks at the sign closer, and it says something like room service available.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, no, there's no room service available in motels.
But that gives him an idea. So he's going to get into this party.
Where does he get – what is he wearing? Where did he get a tuxedo?
He's in this, like, bellhop outfit, right. And
he's dressed like a sailor. He's dressed like he works on the Love Boat.
He does.
And he also has a tray of fruit. Where did he get any of this?
And who would order it at the party? So he comes into the party and he's looking for Timothy. And he does this weird accent. He's like, hello, I'm looking for Timothy.
It's not great.
No. And that, well, so P.S., Timothy has taken her into this back room, which is, again, very unromantic. They're in this bedroom at the party. And he's like, all right. And again, he gets a little skeevy on her. And she's uncomfortable. And he's like, come on, what are you doing? Like, Oh, and I like it when he goes, "What time does your dad want you home?" And she's like, "Midnight." So he like quickly drinks the drink and like
he grabs the drinks. He's like, "We got to get this going here." Yeah. Yeah. But it is so, like you said, it's so creepy. It's so creepy when he closes, because there's double doors to this bedroom. Mm-hmm. He closes it and he goes, "Isn't this romantic?" And bolts the door.
The top. Uh-huh. So creepy. So creepy. And now she's not into it. She screams at one point and he's like, come on, calm down. And Dan's is at the door.
Right. Hears this commotion. She screams at one point and his reaction is like, "Oh, okay. I know what you're into. You say no, I'll grab you a lot." And I'm like, "Oh man, this is getting so rapey."
So bad.
And he thinks she is into that. It's very bad. Yeah. Like, it's pretty rough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then when he finally knows that she's not into this and nothing's going to happen, I love how he's like, "All right, but let's just talk for a while. So when we walk out, you know."
People think we did something. Yeah, we'll just hang out. But then he hears Dan's voice at the door and he's like, "Is that your dad?"
Yeah.
And now Danza falls over with his tray of fruit into the door. And now Katie is just totally upset because even though she was going to handle it, she was in a compromising situation, but she was going to handle it.
Her reaction is very strange when he comes in because he falls in the door. He knocks over Matthew Perry and she looks down. She's like, "Dad." At first, she seems happy and relieved for him to be there, but immediately then is very embarrassed.
Yes.
And then bolts, just takes off.
Yes. So Dr. Foot, the doctor, the psychiatrist,
Call him Foot Odor?
I was going to call him Foot Bagger. Dr. Foot Bagger does get a little radio time, and Dan is listening to him on the radio, and come to find out he doesn't even have a daughter.
Right.
So that's what enrages Danza on this
radio show.
That enrages Danza that he would be taking advice from someone about raising a daughter that doesn't even have one. It's not even married.
Right.
So that's when we see the scene, our opening scene, all over again.
Danza runs in, chases him around the studio, and then we see that he trips and falls through this window.
Yes.
So then we're back to the cops. I love how the cops are just exhausted. Just like exhausted from like, why do we have to hear this whole thing?
They're like, "Oh man, what a long-winded story this is. We just want to know how you fell out the window."
Yeah. The end of this scene here where his girlfriend comes in with her parents and dad's like, the dad's his best friend now. The dad's this is all about your daughter. Why didn't you tell me?
Uh-huh.
Blah, 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 blah. And then Tony Danza says something. This is such a weird exchange. Tony Danza's like, "And I read this book and you know what? I thought a book had all the answers." And the dad goes, "There is a book that has all the answers. It's in the top drawer of every hotel."
Uh-huh.
And the mom from Seventh Heaven goes, "You know what? You're right, Dad. But we don't have time for that right now." It's like, who inserted these lines of dialogue?
It was a very strange exchange.
It was like
exchange.
Somebody wrote that day in the script.
It was ad-libbed in, and they were like, okay, all right.
They're like, wow, that guy that we hired to play the dad is super religious. Yeah. He won't stop saying this.
He's getting his own point across.
Like,
what's happening?
We can't even cut around this.
Cover his own agenda,
So his daughter, Katie, is about to go to Europe. I guess somewhere in all this mess, she's like, "Oh, I'm on board with going to Europe."
Yeah,
now
I could do this. I got to leave the country, clear my mind. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So Tony Danza has to run to this airport.
Yeah.
And this is so crazy pre 9/11. Like, this is
He doesn't have to go through any kind of check-in. He bolts past security. Yeah.
He runs onto the tarmac and is not immediately murdered by air marshals.
Uh-huh.
Like, it is.
No.
He can run, approach this plane, drag his daughter out, have a huge conversation.
Uh-huh.
I love how the pilot of the plane comes out to be like, "You know what? We got to take off pretty soon." Not a flight attendant. It is the pilot.
Yep. But they make it nice with each other.
I mean, she's already forgiven him. She's like, "Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal."
I know you love me, and that's why you did all this malarkey. Yeah.
I didn't quite understand how she's like waving goodbye to him, And then Richard suddenly sidles up beside her. Look any different, but she looks at him like, this dude is a hunk.
We're
going to
work
now.
This out now. Yes. Yeah, yeah. No, now she's into Richard. She's had to come full circle. That's what
I don't think you needed that. Like, I don't think there was any reason to have this.
I think
in there.
We could have had a little flash forward to her in Europe, like having tea with a bunch of French suitors or something like that. That would have been kind of fun.
That would have been so much.
Yeah, like she's carrying her game on European style.
Yes. Or maybe not even that. Like he gets a postcard or something
from her.
Like, I met this guy. His name is Ricardo. Like something like that. That would be genuinely entertaining. Not the fact that Richard also looks back at Tony Danza and winks like, oh, yeah,
I got
it's
this.
Going down
yeah,
on
yeah,
vacation.
Yeah.
It's such a bizarre, quote unquote, ending because it's the movie's still not over.
No, we have. Well, because we really it's not the daughter daddy daughter relationship that's the focus. It's the daddy psychiatrist relationship.
Yes.
So
that is how we have to end this movie.
We get back to that. These two are at odds with each other. They're both at neck braces. And they're going to have their own talk show. The ratings went so high the day Danza went in there and confronted him. Now that's going to be the new talk show.
The new radio talk show where they argue with each other.
I guess.
And possibly have a fist fight.
Maybe, they're looking for blood. It's for the ratings. It's for the ratings, really.
And it's that weird schlub of an assistant of his who's like, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
You know, I'm surprised they don't say something like, it's Jerry Springer Radio. Like, I'm surprised.
Well, Jerry Springer wasn't around then, I don't think.
Oh, yeah. That
was
might,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe he was around but wasn't what he was then later.
Yeah.
So they agree that this is going to be great for ratings. This is what the radio is going to. And how does Wallace Shawn have a neck break? What did he do? We watched Tony Danza fall out a window.
I don't know.
He didn't just fall out a window. He fell. Three stories.
Yeah, he took quite the fall.
And isn't dead. That's amazing.
He didn't break a bone, just injured
but
a neck.
Wallace Shawn hurt his neck, like, running, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. But
so then, the way this movie ends is, of course, the doorbell rings, Tony Danza opens it, there's a kid. Like, a legit child there. And he's like, oh, you know what, Katie's not around.
Yeah. Well, again, all age ranges. Katie's open to all age ranges.
I guess so.
But P.S., it's not for Katie.
No.
The other little daughter does the same stair, slow motion, down the stairs, Venus, if you will, dance.
Yeah.
Or
kind
walk.
Kind of wearing the same thing.
Very similar outfit, the knee highs, the white. And it's all going to go all over again. He's got two daughters. You have three, one of which is single.
Is that...
My
on
dog.
My end, or
no,
is that
it's
on
my
your...
dog is now itchy.
Oh,
she's itchy.
Oh, my God.
Very itchy, I guess.
Yeah, so now it's a whole like, oh, no, my other daughter. Yeah. Ah, she's out of control now.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, the end of the movie.
And that's how we end it. So I assume you loved it? No.
No. I didn't like this at all, kind of. I mean, like I said, there was one or two times, like, the beach scene was okay.
Mm-hmm.
There was a line or two that was all right. But, like, it was just kind of boring. Like, I was pretty bored with this movie. It's going to be one. I would not put it in the Red Sonja Tron level.
Right,
but
yeah.
I am going to forget about this movie fairly quickly.
I think because of Danza's presence, like it wasn't a Red Sonja Tron where you were just like, so like sometimes you just want the next scene, you just want the ending to come. And it was, I wouldn't say enjoyable or interesting. I don't know what the word is to see what was going to happen next.
Okay.
And again, I think it was more just about watching Danza and his goofy reactions. Yeah. For me, there was a little bit of nostalgia having watched it as a kid, like remembering, oh yeah, I remember that scene. I didn't remember the whole drag racing and all that, or the Matthew Perry rapey thing. But I guess I probably didn't understand that when I was a kid. So maybe that's why I blanked it all out. But,
right. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think it was.
Yeah.
I have to say out of our two Danza movies, I think Going Ape is definitely the winner.
Yeah. Going Ape is the winner hands down.
Yeah.
And you say two movies.
Oh, well,
I'm going to throw Hollywood Nights in there and say, Going Ape was better than that.
I agree. I totally agree.
It's weird. Yeah, this movie, it's not so bad.
Mm-mm.
It's like offensive. No. And I think that's the problem. Like, I had no reaction to this.
Yeah.
It wasn't
very lukewarm.
Good. Yeah. It wasn't mm-hmm. bad. It was just like, oh, this is a thing.
And honestly, if you want to see Tony Danza be a dad, just watch Who's the Boss. It's a watch lot more entertaining. Yeah. It's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, watch it until Samantha like goes to college.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch that last season or two.
Yeah. And Jonathan's all awkward looking as he gets older. It's just right. better to not. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, he's working on his sexuality at that point.
Oh, like, that's
he's
true.
Trying
that's
to figure true. Things out
you're right.
On and off set, I think.
Probably.
Oh, so what am I recommending? Yeah. I'm going to recommend a movie that's very different than this one. Another Wallace Shawn movie.
Okay.
It is called Vanya on 42nd Street, and it's kind of a play. It's really interesting. It has Julianne Moore's in it, and it's all about these actors who have been rehearsing this play. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a documentary, because all they're doing is they're putting on this play in an abandoned theater.
Ooh.
In their street clothes, like they're not, like there really aren't sets, there isn't anything, but it's shot like you would shoot a movie production of a play, but they're just like putting it on for friends. It's really interesting, and it's a very good play, and Wallace Shawn has like the main role in it, and he's really great. Anytime I see him pop up in something, I'm like, okay, this can't be bad.
No, I agree. There's going to be something interesting about this. Maybe a little heady. Yeah. No, I agree. Okay, good. I've never seen that. What year? It's not 80s, right?
It's 94.
Okay.
Yeah. So what about you?
Well, first,
what Tony Danza movie are you going to recommend? The trash picking, field goal kicking Philadelphia phenomenon, which is a movie he made where he was a garbage man that became a kicker for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Beautiful. How uplifting.
Yeah.
Now, and you know, sometimes I don't recommend movies. I'll recommend like A Moment to Have or music or a book. So I'm going to recommend Tony Danza had a CD he put out. It's called Tony Danza, The House I Live In. I own it.
Wait a minute.
He's got some wonderful tracks on there. It's Tony Danza singing, and he has a lovely, lovely voice. He sings Pennies from Heaven, I'll Be Seeing You, and he even does a beautiful rendition of God Bless America. That might be what you want to end the show with when you put this all together. Oh, it's just riveting.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
What?
It was made in 2016. It's called Tony Danza, The House I Live In. It's also available as a download if you'd like to just listen to it as quickly as you can.
Why didn't he, Bruce Willis, and Eddie Murphy like start
get a
super
little
group?
X, right? Yeah. I wonder the same thing. I do.
Oh my God, that's great. I had no idea that he had released an album or recorded an album.
Yeah, he sure did. He's got a lovely voice. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, I think that if our audiences are Tony Danza fans at all, they should check it out.
Oh, and also I noticed this because my kids are now super into Saved by the Bell.
Oh, okay.
And the youngest daughter in this movie played Kelly Kapowski's sister in an episode of Saved by the Bell.
I could see her. She's got a very younger sister-y. Yeah.
All right. Well, that ends our Kwanzaa with Danza. We're done.
December done, Danza done. That's how we roll. Yeah.
And we're going to have to, you know, we have an entire year to think about our next December theme month. So,
right. But we're coming in strong in 2019. Wow, 2019.
We are coming in strong in 2019. And you might not know this, Jamie, but January is Blood Donor Awareness Month.
Oh.
Just in case, you were looking to give blood or looking for that perfect time, it would be in January.
Okay.
So my first thought was vampires, but Halloween wasn't that long ago. I don't want to do anything scary. So we are going to go to a genre that we don't really do a whole lot. I realize we don't do a lot of action movies. And we're going to fix that for our Patreon. We're going to do one a year, definitely. But we're going to do the Jean-Claude Van Damme film, Bloodsport.
Yikes.
It's like a tournament fighting movie.
Ooh, I am not going to stomach this well, but that's okay.
Lots of Jean-Claude Van Damme, lots of other wild accents as well. So we will check that out. It's a movie I haven't seen since I was very young and am possibly looking forward to revisiting it.
All right.
I don't know.
All right. Exciting.
So yeah, so that'll be in 2 weeks. So everybody have a great this is coming out. Yeah, this is coming out after Christmas,
Merry
after
New
Kwanzaa,
Year, then. Merry New Year.
After Hanukkah. Have a great New Year.
Yeah.
And we will see you early in 2019 with Bloodsport.
Oh boy. All right.
All right.
Thanks everyone.
Okay, and I hope our patrons enjoyed the nearly 2 hour long episode they just listened to. Everybody else is like, "What? This was only an hour 10." You're missing out on a lot of content.
Lots of good stuff there.
Lots of breaks. Who knows? Don't know if Jamie sang until I listen back to it.
Oh,
I have no idea.
You might have a treat ahead of you.
Okay, great. Yeah. Everybody, we will talk to you soon. Like we said, go to Patreon, go to Facebook, go to Twitter, go to Instagram. We have merch on TeePublic.
Yeah, get some merch.
And tell us what merch you want us to make.
Yeah.
We'll
customize the merch. We'll do it.
Customize, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Okay, everybody, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Ciao. I don't know where you came from. You took me by surprise. I lose control when I look in your eyes. But something's going on. For the most part, it's like that. What's that? To Catch a Predator?
Oh yeah.
It's like
Matthew Perry should have been like, oh, I have some wine coolers.
Yeah, I brought the condoms. I don't know why I have them, but they're in my car.